This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Any good player you have, you know you're getting rated, and when you've been out of, when you don't have a team that you know, you haven't, like to me, like this is kind of the other thing that we're seeing in college football. Like, I think the coordinator hires are going to, at particularly at the high level, they're starting to go away because you have to be able at the first year you're there, the year zero, whatever you want to call it, you got to be able to like smooth it out somehow. And like what we're seeing with Indiana, they bring JMU's head coach in, Cignetti. He brings like 15 of his guys, and all of a sudden, like they're ahead of schedule, and like that's kind of how you build. But man, when you just go from like out of the business to all of a sudden now like trying to start at a tough job, like I was just surprised that was the job he chose to get back into it with.
Yeah, so hiring a staff was not a problem for him, but bringing players with him was. Although I will say there are some guys who he coached at Vanderbilt who are on this team, which shows you how long you can play in college football now, because you know Derek Mason hasn't been at Vanderbilt since the 2020 COVID season. It was a couple things. One, he thought he might go back to the NFL because he had been with the Vikings back in the day before he ended up at Stanford coaching under Jim Harbaugh. And Leslie Frazier, who was the Vikings defensive coordinator and then their head coach for a brief time, he was out of coaching last year. So Derek Mason and Leslie Frazier, they were talking every week, going over schematics, kind of hatching up a plan for a defensive scheme in the NFL. Well, Leslie Frazier ended up back in the NFL as an assistant, but well before that ever came to fruition, somebody reached out to Derek Mason from MTSU and was like, hey, are you interested? And for Derek Mason, who had been the head coach at Vanderbilt, whose family never left Nashville, it was kind of a natural transition because it was still home for him. They played middle. He knew what he was getting into because he knew what that program was under Rick Stockstill. He also knows the lay of the land from a high school recruiting standpoint. And something he said to me that was pretty savvy that stuck out that I think will benefit them a lot is he thinks that middle is going to be in position to get a lot of the bounce back transfers. So you get a lot of these guys from the Nashville metropolitan area who are going to play Power Five football. After a year or two, it doesn't work out for all of them, right? And they want to keep playing, but they want to do it closer to home, or they want to do it at a school where they think they can get more playing time. Middle Tennessee is perfectly positioned to be that soft landing spot for the bounce back kids. That's not going to happen overnight, though. And so, you know, that's part of his plan. But, you know, I think the fact that he knows the lay of the land, it's, you know, it's kind of like home for him. It made it easy for him to kind of ditch the whole NFL idea. And he also talked about, man, like, and I believe this, college football changed so much from the time he was at Vanderbilt until now, even though that's only been 4 years. And he got to see all those changes kind of from a new perspective doing the broadcast thing last year. And that's something he talked to me a lot about, was how being on that SEC network set, talking to all those coaches in the SEC, being around the media side of things gave him a new perspective on how football has changed and what you got to do to be competitive in this era. And so he was spending all this time doing prep for games he was going to call and for studio hits. And he's like, man, if I'm still working a full-time job in football, I might as well be doing it as a coach. And you throw in the fact that MTSU is doing a pretty significant facilities upgrade. And, you know, historically that program has not been bad. Like even before Rick Stockstill, Boots Donnelly had it going there and they were pretty strong in the 1AA game. So it's a program that has the ingredients to be successful. It's just, it's a year zero kind of situation there where they are not where they need to be on the lines of scrimmage to beat a team with Memphis's type of athletes.
So again, MTSU taking on Memphis. That'll be 6:30. Of course, you can go and watch it at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium, but you can also watch it on ESPNU. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's get into the list. Derrick Rose officially retires. We'll get into more headlines next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The list is brought to you by our good friends at Birdies, 493 South Main Street, Suite 101, and they want to let anyone know that the September membership offer is still valid through Monday. That means that anyone that joins as a Birdies member will get a $100 Birdies gift card. The weather forecast doesn't look great this weekend, so take advantage of Birdies to get your golf fix in and stay dry. You can play some golf and watch football, the President's Cup, or Premier League this weekend at Birdies. Birdies also welcomes any and all alumni groups to have their games shown on any of their big screens. All you have to do is DM them on Instagram at Birdies901 to book and watch your game. Also, the holidays are upon us, so take advantage of Birdies for all your holiday parties and gifts. Gift cards make a great gift idea as well. Also, members receive 10 hours per month off the 10 hours of simulators. That's basically 75% off the hourly rate. You also get 20% off food and merch. Golf at birdies.com for all the information that you need. Now, let's get into the list. Derrick Rose. Yeah, this is from ESPN. Former MVP Derrick Rose is retiring from the NBA after a 16-year career. Quote, knowing that I gave my all to the game, I feel confident in my decision. Basketball was just the beginning for me. Now it's important that I give my all to my family. They deserve that. Rose announced the decision on social media Thursday morning. He also took out full-page ads in the local newspapers of the six NBA cities that he played in, Chicago, New York, Cleveland, Minneapolis, Detroit, and, of course, Memphis, to thank each fan base. Earlier this week, the Grizzlies did grant Rose's request to let him out of the final year of his contract. And really, I mean, that's kind of the other thing I was thinking about, Cobb. Derrick, I think, also did them a solid by asking for the release and whatnot. Like, again, it's not the world's biggest amount of cap room, but that was something that could have counted. And if you weren't going to have a roster spot and you were going to have to try and finagle the cap, like, that could have been a difficult thing. Like, he at least made it to where the Grizzlies, if they want to elevate somebody up from a two-way, presumably Scottie Pippen Jr., if they want to elevate somebody up from the two-way, it's a lot easier to do it now. The math is easier.
And then you can go out and fill that two-way spot with somebody else. And how great is that? So if his legacy wasn't already secure in Memphis, I think it is now by the way he exited and the fact that he got to end his career as a Grizzly. And I mean, it's kind of bittersweet because you think back on Derrick Rose's career, and as incredible as it was, and as awesome as it was that he was able to come back from that first big knee injury, there's always going to be a part of me that wonders, wow, what if he had stayed healthy earlier in his NBA career? Like, what type of NBA career would he have had?
Yeah, Jeff had pointed out this morning the parallels between his career and Penny's. Derrick's goes 16 years. Derrick has the MVP. I think it was 3 All-Star appearances, whereas Penny doesn't have an MVP, but both were rookies. I believe both were rookies of the year. Penny has 4 All-Star appearances. Like, it is kind of interesting how both of them fall into the categories of the what-if guys. Again, it's public comments or whatnot, but everything that I've seen from Derrick for the last year, like, it does kind of show a different perspective. And you're right. It was nice that enough time had passed and everyone kind of got to have the, you know, it wasn't even like there was finger pointing anymore. It was kind of everybody coming up being like, sorry, man. and everybody was just happy to experience it. Obviously, he didn't give the Grizzlies much on the floor, and I think that has a lot to do with it, physically a lot to do with it. But I was glad that there was kind of some closure, because for someone that was such a great player and provided such an unbelievable run for the Tigers, it felt like it was never able to be celebrated quite like it should have been. And there's a lot of reasons for that on both sides, and I'm not disputing that. I just think that it was nice after enough time that like everybody got to kind of like be like, man, it's good to have you back.
Without a doubt. And his Memphis basketball tenure, short as it was, stands as the high watermark. It might be different. The way we interpret Derrick Rose's legacy might be different had Memphis been able to sustain that Final Four caliber of program that it had in that moment under John Calipari. You know, they went to the Sweet 16 the following year, but they haven't been back to the Sweet 16 since. They certainly haven't been to a Final Four. And so I think that makes you appreciate even more how special of a player he was, because you don't get to that national title game and have a chance to cut down the nets at the end without a Derrick Rose. And if Memphis had kept it rolling and had been that 30 plus win a year type of program after his departure, maybe we don't view his legacy in the same way. But I think because of what Memphis basketball has gone through, it does give you a greater appreciation for what he contributed.
No, it's interesting when you mentioned that, you know, that last season, and obviously with the whole Calipari to the Kentucky drama that was also wrapped up into it, but that team was like a disappointing Sweet 16 team. And it's like, what would we give right now for Sweet 16?
Yeah, and it makes you realize how important it is to have those special talents. So no pressure, PJ Haggerty, but yeah, Derrick Rose, he was the last transcendent, great University of Memphis Tiger player who, obviously Precious Achiuwa and Jalen Duren, you know, they've made the league. There's been guys who have made the league, but there's not been anyone who went on to win an MVP from the University of Memphis. And that association
in the LeBron era
now, that association is now kind of gone, you know, and that's unfortunate, right? Because former Memphis Tiger Derrick Rose, that's not something we're going to be hearing on NBA broadcasts anymore.
No, it does also kind of bring up the what if guys, and like the fact that he made a lot of comments about like, I don't really wonder what if, and it's like, I hope that's true, because if that it's true, like that's the right perspective and whatnot. But as like sports fans, he's up there in terms of our generation for, to me, like the biggest what if, because I guess you could kind of throw Andrew Luck into this category, but Luck had, I feel like, more time healthy than Derek did at peak of his powers. And I also think, I mean, I honestly believe, like, I think Luck kind of gets overvalued in terms of what he did on the field. Like, I think people remember him a lot better than he, like, his numbers showed. Like, he was a good player, but I think people kind of put him in the category of, like, top three quarterbacks, and it's like he never really wasn't that. He had the potential to be that, but he wasn't that. Derek, to me, the difference being, it's like, if Derek stays healthy, it feels like Derek has every possible accomplishment you could possibly have. Title, and MVP, like everything.
And does it not make you, it should make us appreciate every moment of healthy Ja Morant that we get.
Oh, because I mean, that's a huge lesson here. It's not guaranteed.
It's not. And with the health problems he's had, and obviously the off the court stuff, he's kind of at that stage in his career where things started to fall off for Derrick Rose. And that was more closely associated with a serious knee injury. And thankfully, as I knock on wood here, we've not dealt with anything of that magnitude for Ja Morant. But just don't take it for granted. We assume that guys are going to have 12, 15-year careers, and that once you're an all-star, you'll always be an all-star. That's not how it works, though. There's a lot of circumstances that go into whether or not you're able to sustain that caliber of play. And we think we're about to get back on the right track here with Ja Morant. These ESPN win totals certainly suggest that that we are, but it's not a guarantee.
No, because I think it's an interesting point. It's like, I weirdly, if I compare where I stood on Ja Morant off the floor to just a year ago, I would have been in the, I don't think he'll get in trouble again, but you know, I wouldn't bet against it. I'm not going to stump and go, nah, he's like, that's behind him. It's weird now. Like, I now feel pretty good about Ja off the floor. Like, I don't know if it was a needed to get it out of his system. Like, I don't know if maybe now you're feeling like you're feeling the hit that your wallet took. And, you know, like, whatever the case may be, like, I feel pretty good about that. We don't really have to worry about that this year. But one thing that I do, like, he's coming back from a major, like, shoulder surgery. It's not something that, like, you would red flag in terms of the injuries that you'd be worried about. But this is a guy that wasn't a great shooter, like, to begin with. Is this now going to be, you know, something that you're going to have to relearn how to shoot, whatnot? Of course, there might be some arguing that's not the worst case scenario. But, like, to me, that is the fascinating part of this season because, as you mentioned, there's two ESPN lists that have come out in the last 24 hours. Kevin Pelton's win total projection, which has the Grizzlies number two in the West behind only the Thunder. And then you also had the ESPN future power rankings, which is just based on the next 3 years. And the Grizzlies, which were fourth last year, are now 12th this year. And I'm not going to like get overly bent out of shape about that because, you know, rosters can change. Like, to me, like the future power ranking is just a matter of like what's the last thing you saw. But the thing that I did find interesting about Pelton's projections is you realize, okay, maybe the Thunder are going to run away with the West, but that next mix of like 2 through 9 or 10, like you can make cases for just about anyone.
Yeah, I mean, you get down to 10, even 11, you're still talking about teams with projected win totals of over 40, which suggests to me the West is going to be as wide open, as chaotic, and perhaps you could have some good teams that kind of get left out of the mix. I was shocked to see the Grizzlies, though, at number two on this, because the narrative, I don't think, really matches the analytics. The analytics say that the Grizzlies will be good, and they should, but the narrative seems to be, well, this is a team that just isn't ready for that. There's other better teams now that have comparable cores in the West that have more going for them. And if all goes right, if all goes well, there's no reason why the Grizzlies can't be a 50-win team. If I were setting win totals, I might have set the Grizzlies total more at like 46.5. But
I think that's what it is. Also,
but let's also point out this on Pelton here. He acknowledges in this story that he only got 9 out of 30 right last year.
No. So, but to me, like that's it. And he even acknowledged before the Steven Adams injury, the Grizzlies were projected to win the West. And then when he accounted for the Adams injury, they moved down to second. Now, I think the killer is, I don't think people put enough stock in real time. Like when we found out 25 game suspension, I don't think everyone really factored in how significant that suspension would be. And then the other aspect of it, it ended up not mattering because of the way that the season played out with all the injuries. But like the 25 games without Ja Morant would have sunk them no matter had Ja stayed healthy completely. Like they would have basically,
Might have been able to come back and make the playoffs.
No, buddy. If you look at the numbers, like they would have had to have basically, I think they went like 3-22. They would have had to have won like 40, I think it was like 43 games.
It was all right, I got him at 6-19 through 25 last year.
Okay, and I think
they could have made the play-in, all right?
Like, but didn't 45 wins make the play-in?
Well, I mean, it should. Yeah, 45 would get you in the play-in.
Yeah, sure. But that would have been like 39 and, let's see, what is that? So 39 and 26?
Doable. Not likely. To me, it's like, can the Grizzlies have two of the three main four stay healthy? That's Ja, Dez, and Triple J. Like, if you got two of those three on the court, you should be able to beat pretty much every non-playoff team on your schedule. Because other teams have injuries, too. Other teams go through load management as well. So it's that's my thing. It's because last year, you had Desmond Bane only play half the season. Jaren Jackson Jr. missed time. He played 60-something games a year ago. Obviously, part of that might be due to the fact that there was nothing to play for. But you get to the season, and it's like, all right, even if Ja doesn't have a perfect bill of health, can Des and Jaren stay healthy enough to where you still have a chance? these three guys aren't all going to play 82 games. We just need all three of them to play 60 or more. And if they can do that, then I think the Grizzlies can hit 51 wins for sure.
No, that's like the other interesting aspect of it. You know, when we think back, why were the Wolves this good this year? It's like, well, as Pelton pointed out, the only guy that in their significant rotation that missed more than 10 games was Towns. And you kind of hope that the Grizzlies maybe like put down a down payment on injury luck last year and that they can have some injury luck this year. I do wonder, I'm not like holding it against them, but the Grizzlies were still bad in games in which they had Jaren and Dez. And I get it, there's a lot of other factors. I do wonder, though, if that's not meaningless.
Well, you also didn't have your true center last year. Marcus Smart was largely unavailable when you thought he was going to provide you something. You were trying to figure out life without Tyus Jones in a world that you never could have imagined not having previously, right? Like for the however many years of the Taylor Jenkins era, it was like, all right, well, Ja's not playing tonight, but we got Tyus. We're good. And well, now all of a sudden you don't have either, and then you don't have Marcus Smart. So even in a world where Ja is out or where Dez is out, like if you have Marcus Smart there, if you have, now you have Zach Edey, who we think is going to fill that Steven Adams role. You know, if you can just have these guys available 80% of the time, like you have enough competent depth to where you should be able to make the playoffs. And that to me is like, we just got to get this thing back on track. Like we don't have to go win the West this year. We got to get back in the playoffs, show that we're going back in the right direction. And then we can build to a potential title run or what have you in 26, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's the other thing. It's like, okay, if you tell me the Thunder bottom out, it's like, okay, that's a lot of injuries. But really, like if you think about it, Denver clearly didn't get better. They're basically depending on guys that did not have good rookie years taking massive leaps in year two to fill in what they've lost. The Mavs, like, it is one of those things where it's like, all right, does anyone really want to bet that the Kyrie and that Kyrie, Clay, and Luka, like, who's defending there? Like, to me, like I get in theory why they chose to do it, but it's like, is that for sure going to be a proven winning formula? I don't know. And then you look around the rest of the West, it's like, I don't think the Warriors are going to move up. I don't think the Lakers are moving up. I guess the Kings could, in theory, like, they could have a bounce back, but it really, to me, is like in that whole jumble, it's like, how many games are you getting from the Suns' best players? It's like, who knows on that? Now, I do think Tyus makes them better because I think a big problem that they had last year is they didn't have a pure point guard. And now Tyus gets to be a very cheap option at point guard, and that kind of solves some of their problems. So it's like, maybe, but at the same time, it's like, we haven't seen their collection of guys play together. It's like with the Pelicans, who knows? Like, are the Rockets really going to take a step? It's like, I just feel like there's just a huge, huge logjam kind of in that 2 through 10, like that 10 area.
And from that standpoint, I actually feel pretty good about the Grizzlies from a depth standpoint. Like the beauty of last year was that you got to discover Vince Williams. You got to build confidence with Gigi Jackson. Obviously, Gigi's going to be out for a hefty chunk of this first half of the season, but you get that guy back, you get him in the rotation, like he could help you withstand other injuries. And now you've discovered Scottie Pippen Jr. You're likely going to invest in him. So not to mention, you were kind of able to get Luke Kennard back on a relatively friendly deal. So, I mean, yeah, if the injury bug strikes twice, of course you're in trouble. Don't think it will, though. You're not dealing with the suspension. You're better equipped from a depth standpoint at point guard than you were a year ago. And if Zach Edey is half of what we kind of thought he might be coming out of summer league, then you know, I'm pretty optimistic.
I also like the fact that they're back to being out of sight, out of mind. Like, I think this team is always going to be a better chaser than they are front runner.
Which is why I'm weirded out when I see them at second.
I know. I'm just acting like that didn't exist. I'm putting up the power rankings of them at 12. All right, let's take...
This is rat poison, man. We need the Grizzlies to be...
Definitely rat poison.
Feeling like their backs are against the wall.
Yeah, 100% agree. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk with Jason Smith. We'll talk about realignment, Tigers, and more next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Lil Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Lil Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Jason Smith is the co-host of the Jason and John Show weekdays right here on 92.9 FM ESPN from 11 until 2 on Twitter, on X, at JasonSmith929. Jason, when you think back on Derrick Rose and his entire basketball career, what comes to mind for you?
Oh, it'll be just the, you know, the different gear that he played at, you know, when he was at his best, whether that was with, you know, sort of completing what was a team that really just needed him, that the CDR, you know, Tone, Dorsey, those guys all just needed, you know, that final piece. And they've talked about him being it and how they had to kind of empower him. They had to kind of get him to see that, you know, during that season, Cal too was a part of that, had to kind of get him to understand it and see it, that dude, we got to unlock you for us to reach our ceiling. And then, man, just seeing, you know, when he was at full speed, you know, there was nothing on the court that was as fast as him, nothing that was as powerful as him. You know, that goes right into his time with the Bulls. Those first 3 years, it just felt like nothing could stop him. And so I think it's that, and it'll go into what you and Cobb talked about, the what ifs. I mean, when we're discussing his basketball career, but clearly, I mean, you look at him now, you look at the way he went out, you know, the way he did this and the posting of an announcement in six different newspapers, how grateful he was, obviously, for what the game gave him. I think clearly that speaks to something. It speaks to Derrick Rose, and, you know, maybe he's having a tougher time than he's letting on, or maybe he's at a peace that it seems like, you know, that really seems to be coming off of him, that he's not stuck in the what-ifs, that he's satisfied that, you know what, for what his basketball journey was going to be, he achieved. It's what we talked about on our show. I mean, you think about what he was in terms of where Cal had to go. He's always told the story about how Cal came into the hood in Chicago to come up. Cal wasn't scared like the other coaches, right? You come and get him. We're talking about a guy who, you know, at some point, the clearinghouse said he passed his test, but then comes back. We say he can't pass the standardized test to where he is now, going out with those glasses, a chessboard in front of him, telling kids, man, to hit the books and getting this game of chess and literally, you know, becoming more of a, I mean, Kobe achieved a level of greatness with the championships and everything else. That's one thing that you can't compare Derrick to. But one thing I think you can on Kobe is that Derrick became a sort of giver, a guy who was willing to come here and, yeah, you know, I want to play for the Grizzlies. I'm not here to babysit job, but he also knew, too, there's something I can give this young man. Right, and that's why I think the Grizzlies is a good fit for me here at the end of my career. And, you know, in addition to what I want to do on the basketball court. But clearly he was at a point in his career where he was ready to give. And Kobe was, you know, toward the end was that. You know, whether it was end of his career or, more importantly, post-career, he became that giver. And so to see Derrick kind of transform, evolve, clearly an evolution with the man, but certainly one that understood, okay, I can focus on the what-ifs, the championships I didn't get, you know, the finals I never got to because of LeBron James and everything else and because of, obviously, injuries. But I'm not going to do that. I'm at peace with it. This was supposed to be what my story was, and now I'm going to spend the rest of it. And he seems like, you know, he gets that this is just a chapter for him, just a part of his life, not something he's going to be defined by his basketball career, but what it's earned him, whether it's the money or whatever else, the ability, what it's done with, you know, his ability to take care of his family. He's going to use that now and, you know, give his family a kind of future that, my gosh, if it's not for the game, you know, he never realizes. And so whether it's the person that we saw grow or, you know, how he's come to sort of come to grips, come to terms with his career, I just think there's a lot of things about Derrick Rose to sort of, besides just the phenom he was on the basketball court, to sort of be in awe of. And he, you know, it's what the coaches always say, and it became cliche, but use the game. Use the game of basketball as opposed to letting it use you. You know, where at the end of it, you don't have a damn thing. You know, Derrick didn't allow that to happen. So that part of it's really good to see despite the what-ifs of his basketball journey.
All right, Jason, we are hearing right now from Ed Scott, the man himself, Memphis Athletic Director, and he is talking and addressing why Memphis ultimately decided to stay in the AAC. So from Jonah Dillon over at the CA, the quote, from Ed is that the financials were not there. Emotionally, I understand why people are upset. What do you need to hear? What do Memphis fans who are upset, what do they need to hear from Ed to convince them, perhaps, that if they can be convinced that this was the right move?
I think the more that you can just show Memphis fans, we understand the emotion, just like Ed said, but this was a bad deal. And the $2.5 million in terms of what they were willing to cover in exit fees. Remember, you know, at the very beginning of this, I think people, including my partner, you know, we got into a heated debate about it right off the top about whether this was a smart move. I think a lot of folks assumed that the Pac-12 was going to use all that money as coffers like it was doing for the Mountain West teams to pay the exit fees for the AAC teams too. And certainly if not going to pay most of it or all of it, then going to pay more than a partial share, more than $2.5 million of what's expected to be $25 million or more. That's a slap in the face.
And by the way, Ed did confirm the $2.5 million number was accurate.
So back to the point, the more you show fans, we can't do business, if I'm Ed Scott, this was not just a bad deal, this was almost disrespectful to believe that we don't have more value than this $2.5. So you're going to invite us over, and I've heard others use this metaphor, and I think it's a good one. Invite us to dinner, want us to come join you, and stick us with the bill. You know, and you have to then, Cobb, weigh it with the math that you guys had been through, we've been through. Okay, increased travel costs, right? You're telling me $10 to $15 million on a TV deal that I can't see. You're just telling me that. How do I offset this? Is that going to offset, you know, this $22.5 million I'm going to have to pay? How am I making that up with what you're showing me? And so the more you can show your fans and your base that this was a deal you could not accept financially, it's not, really, it wasn't even considerable. It was almost disrespectful. I think the more people can, and they have, after initially, I think there was almost some outrage. What are you doing? And you know, no vision. You have to understand that this was not a, you know, and I put it in this term, in these terms. You know, SMU paid its way out of the AAC, $25 million, to go to an ACC that right now is still part, whether it blows up or not, it right now is part of the power structure. They paid $25 million. You would be paying the same $25 million, essentially, to go into another group of conference that is not the current power structure and have essentially the same seat at the table that you do now. So you tell me if any of us, I mean, I think, in a, you know, most of us with our Memphis City Schools math and everybody beyond that can figure out pretty quickly this was not a good deal. And so, listen, what was the Pac-12 thinking? You want to scrape off the top three teams from the AAC, which I think, you know, you would have had a pretty good conference at that point with what you had gotten, but you're only going to offer them $7.5 million out of the, you know, 75 they're going to have to pay to get out? Doesn't make any sense. And so that, I think the more he can show that and say that, common sense, Cobb, you don't have to convince anybody of anything. That's common. That's financial staring you in the face. This is not doable for a Memphis program that's got to now cover and has the ownership of its own stadium in terms of control. You're figuring that out now, and what's going to be the extra overhead from that city once controlled that. You're trying to bring in these donations from everybody else to complete projects. You know, what were you going to do having to pay another $22.5 million to get into a conference that's not even part of the current power structure? So, man, the more you just put up the mirror to folks, I think the more we'll get it and the more we'll calm down and understand this was not the time.
It's funny that you mentioned that because I've kind of struggled with, like, there's just been something about this the last week that just hasn't sat right with me. Mm-hmm. And I've been, like, struggling. It's like, what is it? It's like, I understand the disappointment from fans and, like, that's all. I think something that hasn't sat right with me is that it feels like to me most of the anger is misplaced, and it's misplaced at people that I think made completely reasonable and rational decisions. And I don't feel like anyone's pointing the finger at the Pac-12 and whatever their plan was or wasn't. Jason, we're getting reports now from Ross Dellinger that Sacramento State, FCS Sacramento State, announced that it has secured millions in funding for a new football stadium to be part of a public pursuit of Pac-12 membership. And it's like, that's where we are. It's like, it's not just Memphis that said no to this. It's a lot of people that said no to this.
Right. It would have been so different if, and this was evident, it appeared very early on from Dellinger's reporting and others, that if South Florida and Tulane are trying to run and jump over your back to go get in it and leave you behind, well, then something's different. Then you got to, you know, okay, that's different. Then you're talking about being left behind a conference that's got nothing, but that was clearly not the deal. And so I go back to, what was the Pac-12's plan initially? What you couldn't afford was to have to go to Plan C and Plan D and Plan E. The fact that you thought that you could pull off the top of the AAC with just $7.5 million, I'm assuming essentially you're doing the same thing for South Florida and Tulane. Something you need essentially to have something you can then present to television executives and say, okay, this is strong enough on at least the football side. I don't understand that. And so, you know, whether it was going up to 7 or 10, it just feels like you would have had a lot better shot. Again, not paying the whole thing, but not coming this low, because this felt like disrespect. This made it easy, it felt like, for Memphis and for South Florida and for Tulane to say, no way, we can't even come close to affording that, especially when you're talking about the travel concerns that those teams would have. South Florida, you're literally going from corner to corner, and it's not much different for Memphis and Tulane. And so the plan that they had, you know, okay, so you don't come back at Memphis and Tulane and South Florida and offer paid a little bit more on exit fees. That seems like a stronger plan than what they're doing now. So I'm just, that part to me has been just as confusing, because there was a chance to have something pretty solid here, and I think they've blown it.
And I think this is part of the frustration, to your point. It seems to me, and no one will come out and say this, and I think I know why they won't come out and say this, because I do know who I think a lot of the sources were.
Mm-hmm.
Washington State and Oregon State don't want to give up the money.
Right.
And I get it. Like, Oregon State doesn't want to give up the money because they built a new stadium or whatever. They redid their stadium, and they were banking on money. And they, but, like, that's, to me, it's like they're allowing for schools that said no, reasonably so, to have their fans get mad at their school, when in reality, part of the whole problem is, like, they don't want to share the money, and they're not acknowledging, hey, you probably, if you want to have a league that doesn't have Sacramento State in it or UTEP, like, you're going to have to at least offer something. And I think that's kind of what just hasn't sat right with me.
Again, yeah, I'm not saying you would have had to go up and get anywhere near the $25 million expected to be, but could you have gone up, you know, again, up to seven? And again, you got to triple that. So we're talking about, if it's seven for Memphis, you're talking about $21 million. I think, yes, they should have come off of that money if they wanted this to be serious. And otherwise, yeah, to your point, now we'll see how prepared they are to be with these, you know, what is this, Utah State and these others that are coming in.
Honestly, who knows? Because, yeah. I mean, the reality is, like, Cobb and I were talking about this off the air, like, if you tell me that there's a situation that comes up in the next couple of months where everyone decides, like, hey, sorry, like, can we just go back and, like, be the Mountain West again? Like, that wouldn't shock me.
No, it wouldn't shock me either at this point, because, again, there was you envisioned something much stronger than this earlier on, and, boy, it's coming through nasty, very reminiscent of, you know, Memphis Big East years ago, and you get there, and, it ain't what's, yeah, no, so
it ain't even there.
Surprise, this ain't it. Yeah, it ain't even there. So, nah, man, I think for now, again, Ed Scott's got I won't say an easy job, because he needs to sell tickets on both sides. You got to get people excited about coming to a neighborhood that ain't fun to look around in the AAC. But so I'm not going to say the job's easy, but explaining this is, you can just hit people in Memphis, Cobb, and you know this, you've been here long enough, you can just hit them with common sense. And at some point, we'll calm down and get it. And I think that's the gig today. He'll be fine.
Jason, we appreciate it, buddy.
Y'all take care.
Jason Smith of the Jason and John Show. We come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Cobb. Hang on, sorry. That's on me. For today's Tell Your Story, let's go to Miles Garrett. Miles Garrett's been banged up, but I got great news for everyone. I try to spend every moment preparing my body for the rigors of the season. Sometimes I have bumps and bruises like I have right now. So an injured animal is the fiercest, so I'm going to be at my best. So that is definitely Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. Injured Miles Garrett, that's a fierce Miles Garrett. Much better than a healthy Miles Garrett.
Sounds like a mindset he will regret when he is 70 years old.
Yeah, well, it also sounds like a mindset he might even regret on Sunday when he's probably not feeling great. I want to thank Cobb for joining us. Also, Jason Smith, if you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Cobb, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts. In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.